I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest today is Dr. Robert Esslinger, and I'm excited that you will hear a very comprehensive approach to treating cancer patients using alternative integrative interventions. Dr. Robert Esslinger, or Dr. Bob, as he is fondly called, finished his formal medical training in 1978. He has been in clinical practice for over 30 years and is certified in family practice, osteopathic manipulation, and homeopathy. For 13 years before coming to Reno, he was the medical director of the medical center in Cascade, Idaho. Before concentrating in the area of alternative integrative medicine, Dr. Esslinger developed a broad background in traditional medicine disciplines, everything from being stationed at a remote Indian reservation in the public health service to private practice and years of working in clinics and ERs has set him on a lifelong quest to find what works for his patients. He presently focuses on a specialty in the field known as biological medicine, which combines classical treatment and modern technology. Dr. Bob was appointed by the governor in November of 2008 to sit on the board of homeopathic medicine examiners for the state of Nevada. He is a compassionate physician who takes time to listen to his patients' needs and offers an abundance of life experience to his practice. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Bob, and I look forward to hearing about your treatment programs for cancer patients at the Reno Integrative Medical Center. Now, first, you have a comprehensive approach to cancer treatment that includes, among other things, boosting the immune system, biooxidation therapy, intravenous vitamin C therapy, Laetril, insulin potentiation therapy, and others. Yes. Can you tell us about some of these treatments?
Okay, well, we can start with the insulin potentiated therapy. And what this is a therapy that was developed back in the 1920s in Mexico by a doctor named Donato Perez Garcia. And he was a general in the Mexican army as well as a physician. And what he found and what this is based on, part of the reason that I believe it works so well is it's based on some of the work by Otto Warburg, mm-hmm. who is a German MD, PhD, who proved that all cancer cells use an abnormal means of burning sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called anaerobic metabolism, and that means burning sugar without using oxygen. Now, most people have heard the phrase, cancer loves sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I tell my patients, cancer doesn't love sugar. Cancer requires 18 times more sugar than normal cells in order to grow and prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because this anaerobic metabolism is 18 times less efficient than aerobic metabolism, or burning sugar using oxygen. And so that's part of the reason that the tumor just really scavenges the blood for sugar, because it needs much more sugar than normal cells.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's amazing to me is that you ask most any conventional oncologist, what does sugar have to do with tumor growth? And they immediately tell you that nutrition or sugar has nothing to do with tumor growth.
Right.
And then in the next breath, they'll order a PET scan, which they use every day in all the cancer centers across America in conventional therapy. And a PET scan takes sugar molecules, radioactively tags them, and then they inject that solution into a patient, wait for an hour, and then put them under a nuclear scanner to see where all the sugar went, because
mm-hmm.
it always goes to the tumor first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they literally are proving that principle about the sugar feeding the tumor, but yet they deny the existence of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I also tell my patients is, even though that is true, it's impossible to cure your cancer by not eating sugar. because the brain requires sugar.
Mm.
And so, but it does not make sense to eat highly concentrated doses of sugar because you absolutely will feed the tumor. And so what this IPT therapy does is we use insulin, pharmaceutical-grade insulin, to intravenously to drop the blood sugar below normal levels, approximately halfway down to zero. And when it gets to that point, what happens is the cancer cells start starving for sugar before the normal cells do. And they do what's called open up their cell membranes. And at that point, we can give different compounds mixed with sugar that are more readily taken up by the cancer cells. So it literally targets the cancer cells with these different compounds. Now, which compounds, of course, is the question. And there's different ways that we have of doing this IPT based upon the desires of our patients. Some patients come here because the standard, I say standard, the way IPT is usually done by most, there's about 200 doctors in the world doing IPT. They drop the blood sugar and then give a dose of sugar mixed with chemo drugs. And they're standard chemo drugs, but only at 10% of the full dose of that chemo drug. So there's 90% less problems like vomiting and diarrhea and hair loss and all the things that, and destruction of the immune system that go along with full dose chemo. And so the idea is that the cancer cells take up this sugar that's mixed with the chemos and it more specifically targets the cancer cells. Now, I do periodically have patients that come in and say, no way, no how, 10%, 1%, I don't want chemos in my body. And so we do have, another compound that we use in all of our patients called salicinium. And salicinium, the easiest way to think of it is it's a fake sugar. And I work with the chemist from California who developed this compound. It's completely non-toxic, and the chemical structure of it is called a glycobenzaldehyde. And the glyco, of course, is a sugar molecule, but it's attached to what's called a benzaldehyde ring, which is a six-sided organic carbon ring, and it's attached in such a way that what happens is the cancer cells read the sugar molecule and they absorb it into the through the cell membrane, and when it gets inside, they have no metabolic mechanism to break or what's called cleave off the sugar molecule in order to burn it for energy. And so on a cellular level, when the cell cannot gets to where it cannot produce enough energy, it dies immediately. And what I tell my patients is it's not like you or I where you slept in and you say, well, I'll skip breakfast, I can eat a bigger lunch. Cells can't do that. They have to have a steady supply of energy or they die. And so when this salicinium gets to a certain concentration in the cancer cells, they shut down and die.
Would you ever add Laetrile?
Oh, we use Laetrile on all of our patients.
Do you?
We use it IV and orally when they're not in the office. Here, they take it orally. But we use a three-week initial treatment time period that Dr. Doug Brody, who had this clinic before me, he developed this three-week, what we call cancer boot camp. And it's 5 days a week for 3 weeks. And on each of those 5 days, we use IV Laetrile on all of our patients.
Oh, but that's not combined with the insulin potentiation?
Well, what we do is on the days, we only give IPT 2 days a week out of those five days because it's stressful to the body to drop this blood sugar like this. And so on the days of IPT, and patients come in fasting because a lot harder to drop the blood sugar if they've eaten. They come in fasting. On those days, we give the Laetrile when their blood sugar is low or it's in what what is called the therapeutic window.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they get a push of the B-17.
Mm-hmm.
We also use mistletoe that we get from Germany mm-hmm. at that same moment as well on all of our patients.
Mm, good.
And then we also developed a way to give this salicinium in an IPT setting so that we start a salicinium drip with two-thirds of the dose. At the same time, the insulin goes in. And then as the blood sugar is dropping, they're getting an IV running of this salicinium. And when their blood sugar gets into the therapeutic window, then we give the extra third of the dose of that salicinium as an IV push.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they start eating. And then by the time their blood sugar gets back up to normal, then the salicinium drip has finished.
Mm-hmm.
So we're basically depriving the cancer cells of the sugar it needs to survive, and then literally holding like a carrot out in front of it and say, here's some sugar, do you want this? And it takes this fake sugar in that it can't burn.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the salicinium works.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the interesting thing about salicinium, because we still do high-dose vitamin C and ozone and peroxide oxidative therapies,
mm-hmm.
but the salicinium cannot be given at the same time as oxidative or high-dose vitamin C therapies.
Mm-hmm.
And I hesitated at first whether to stop this because it was a huge part of our protocol that mm-hmm. Dr. Brody developed. But I had, last spring, I had a naturopathic doctor from California, a woman in her 70s had this huge tumor on her neck, and she wanted to come in strictly for the salicinium.
Mm-hmm.
And so I agreed to do that because she was fully aware of all the risks of not doing these other therapies, but she wanted just the salicinium. So I thought it was a great time to try the salicinium
right.
and see if we could stop using the vitamin C and the ozone and peroxide and still get a good result. Well, it was so remarkable a response that I decided to start using salicinium on most of my patients, the ones that wanted to,
mm-hmm.
and not use the vitamin C and oxidative therapies. And what we do, if the patient really wants these other therapies, we can do them after the salicinium is finished.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after that 3 weeks. And so salicinium is one of the big tools. Now, another big tool that we use, interestingly enough, was developed in the United States, and it's called UBI, and UBI stands for ultraviolet blood irradiation.
Mm.
And what this consists of is taking a sample of blood out and anticoagulating it so it doesn't clot, and then injecting it into a bottle of sterile saline solution, which is just salt water, basically,
mm-hmm.
at the same concentration as blood, and then running that blood, hanging the bottle upside down, running the blood back into the patient. Now, if we're going to use ozone, we would then inject ozone into that bottle and
mm-hmm.
mix the ozone with the blood. If we don't use ozone, obviously we just don't add the ozone to it. But then the bottle is hung upside down and run back into the patient. But between the bottle and the patient is a 12-inch long chamber with a glass tube running through it that's disposable and used separate during each treatment. And it's surrounded by three long ultraviolet light bulbs. And so all of the blood cells get exposed to ultraviolet light.
Mm-hmm.
And what this does, particularly in the cancer situation, because that's what we mostly treat, it causes the cancer cells, any cancer cells that are in that blood sample, cancer has a way of surrounding itself with a thick protein coat.
Mm-hmm.
to try to protect itself from the immune system. And what this ultraviolet light does is it kills the cancer cells, but it doesn't destroy them. But it causes them to shed their protein coat so that when these cells are run back in the body, I call them naked cancer cells,
mm-hmm.
it's much easier for the immune system to detect the abnormal antigens on their cell membranes and to then start being able to attack the living cancer cells in the tumor itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this UBI was developed in the United States back in the 1920s. And the amazing thing is the FDA has issued a policy statement about it, saying that they recognize the therapeutic benefit of it, which, as you well know, in alternative right. medicine is not the usual course of things.
Right, right.
But it's particularly useful for viral diseases, viral meningitis, hepatitis C, even HIV, because ultraviolet light is deadly to all viruses.
Oh.
And so there is a website I can give you that they have 125 published medical studies on the use of this ultraviolet blood irradiation. And the website is D as in dog, R, S as in Sam, UBI, drsubi.com. And all of these medical studies are from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is that in the 1950s, when the pharmaceutical companies really started coming out with more and more pharmaceuticals that doctors, conventional doctors, started using more and more of, you cannot patent ultraviolet light. And so nobody can make billions of dollars on it. And so they stopped using it very much, but
mm-hmm.
Eastern Europe couldn't afford the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So they carried on the research with the ultraviolet light. So that's why these studies are all from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And ultraviolet light and ozone are very big in Eastern Europe and, from what they tell me, also in Cuba,
mm-hmm.
but also in countries like Germany, as we were discussing a little bit earlier about
mm-hmm.
Germany.
Mm-hmm.
They use, actually, oxidative therapies came out of Germany. So we do this UBI treatment, sometimes with ozone, sometimes without, twice a week. Usually on the same day that we do the IPT treatment in the morning, we then do a UBI treatment that afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are a couple other things that we have added since I was published in that book, Defeat Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
One is a compound called GCMAF, and it's capital G, small c, capital M as in Mary, A, and F as in Frank. And the MAF stands for macrophage activating factor.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a compound that was researched in Philadelphia, actually, by a Dr. Yamamoto. And I originally heard about this back in 2006, and I called Dr. Yamamoto because I went to medical school in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to speak to him directly, and he said that because I had read these glowing reports about resolution of tumors in
mm-hmm.
mice, and so I called, and he said, yes, all that is true, but I cannot give any for use in humans.
Oh.
And there's been no human studies done yet. And so I kind of had to put it on the back burner because none was available.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last summer, within a span of about 2 weeks, I had three different patients contact me and ask me about GCMAF. And I told them what I just told you,
mm-hmm.
and I said, but I can't get this stuff. And the third patient said, I have a website of a lab in Belgium that's manufacturing this.
Oh.
And so I got in touch with that lab, and we import it. We import this from Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is a common protein molecule. The amazing thing about it, besides the fact what I'll tell you about how it helps to get rid of cancer because of what it does to the immune system, but the amazing thing is the dosage.
Mm-hmm.
The dosage on this, unfortunately, it has to be injected. It's not something you can just take a pill.
Mm-hmm.
But the dosage on it is 100 nanograms injected once
oh.
a week.
Mm-hmm.
A nanogram is a billionth of a gram.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a minuscule amount of substance, And they have, since the mid-1990s, when they started doing research on it, they have never had an adverse reaction.
Oh.
So there's no bad effect.
Mm-hmm.
And so we use that. We give a shot once a week, and the recommendation is for a minimum of 4 to 6 months. They have done 2 human studies now, and the numbers are small, but the results are pretty amazing. And they had 8 breast cancer patients and 18 colon cancer patients,
mm-hmm.
some of them stage 4. And according to the studies, they had a 100% resolution of the tumors.
Wow.
And a couple years later, they had not returned.
Mm.
Now, what this compound does is it neutralizes an enzyme that the cancer cells secrete to help them hide from the immune system. So in order for this to work, you have to have an intact and functioning immune system.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like a magical chemical that goes in and just kills cancer cells. It has to work with the body system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we talk about the extreme importance of strengthening and balancing the immune system, because you need it as an ally. If you don't have an immune system, I don't care what kind of drug you have, it's going to be much harder to get rid of the cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So this enzyme is called nagalase. Now, what's interesting about it, and this enzyme has not been known for very long, there's only one lab in the world that is testing blood nagalase levels, and that lab is in Holland. And so we have to ship our blood samples over to Holland, and that's the one drawback to it, is mm-hmm. it takes 4 to 6 weeks to get the mm-hmm. result back.
Mm-hmm.
But it only costs $65, and it can be used as a check on whether or not all these other therapies that we're doing are working.
Mm-hmm.
But this GCMAF neutralizes the nagalase so that the immune system can start to recognize the cancer cells as being abnormal and need to be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last big therapy that we use grew out of the work that orthopedists have done over the last 20 years. And there's a thing that you can Google online and look up what's called PRP, and that stands for platelet-rich plasma.
Mm-hmm.
And these orthopedists have used it to inject into injured joints and tendons and ligaments to stimulate growth and healing that can act many times. The studies they've done have shown they can prevent the need for orthopedic surgery. And even one study I read where they got a knee cartilage to regrow in a knee that was scheduled to be replaced with an artificial knee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, when I was reading these studies and learning about PRP, what occurred to me is they tell you that the way you get this PRP is you take a tube of blood, just like a lab draw blood. We use blue top tubes. It's called citrated blood, so it's anticoagulated, so it doesn't clot. And you can take a tube of that blood, spin it in a centrifuge for 15 minutes, and it separates into 3 layers. The upper layer is the liquid of the blood called the plasma. The lower bottom layer is the bright red or dark red, in the case of venous blood, all the red blood cells. And there's a very thin tan layer right in the middle called the buffy coat.
Mm-hmm.
And this buffy coat contains all the platelets and all the white blood cells. And interestingly enough, any stem cells that are in that sample will concentrate in this buffy coat as well.
Oh.
Now, one of the things that I look for, watch for, test for, and am interested in building up the numbers of is the T cells,
mm-hmm.
the T lymphocytes that are made in the thymus gland, because they can turn into NK cells. They're called natural killer cells. And what they kill is cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I have patients come in and start their cancer boot camp, I put them on 2 different specific supplements. One is a formula that contains 17 different medicinal mushrooms, and I have seen it boost the T-cell count, because most adults have very low T-cell count because the thymus tends to shrink as with age. So we want to stimulate those, the numbers of those T-cells. Then the second supplement is a compound called IP6, or the chemical name for it is inositol hexaphosphate. And what this has been demonstrated to do is activate those T-cells and make them much more aggressive. So I start, these are both capsules, and they're taken orally, and I start all my patients on those when they first get here. And then once a week, we draw four tubes of blood. I have a lab tech in my office that does this, and she draws four tubes of blood, centrifuges all of them, and then collects all the buffy coats, puts them into a single tube, and we incubate it overnight in an incubator at 102 degrees Fahrenheit. And that temperature is a fever temperature in a human. And what it has been demonstrated in conventional research, that what the function of that fever is it activates the T cells. And usually it's in response to some sort of infection. But what we do is create an artificial fever in this buffy coat concentrate that we have that contains all the T cells out of those blood samples. And we incubate overnight, and it stimulates something that, here's another thing you can Google. It's called heat shock proteins. Heat shock proteins. And these heat shock proteins, chemically, they're called cytokines. And these cytokines are chemicals that enable the T cells to kill cancer cells. And then the next day, we take that tube of all the buffy coats of that patient, and we inject it back into the patient in the muscle, an IM injection. And the way we do it, the timing of it, is we give the GCMAF into one arm, and the I call it TCRP, T-cell rich plasma, of which is their own T cells, we inject into the other arm. And so at the same time we're getting boosting the T cells activity, we're also adding this GCMAF, which stimulates the T cells to go after the cancer cells. Now the interesting thing about the T cells that have been through the incubator is not only do those specific T cells go after the cancer, but they have some mechanism for passing on that knowledge to other T cells in the body. So eventually all the T cells in the whole circulatory system are turned on to be able to go after the cancer cells. Now, I have done twice, I've done an interesting procedure where, and I just had another a research doctor visiting from Florida that was really excited about this, and that is, if the tumor is accessible, like, for example, I had a patient with a tonsillar cancer that had a mass in her neck, and what I did was put a 16-gauge needle, I numbed the area first with procaine, and then put a 16-gauge needle on a 20cc syringe, and put a 1cc of normal saline fluid in it, and then put this 16-gauge needle into the tumor and just spun it around a few times and then injected 1cc of saline and then pulled back on the plunger, and I got about a half a cc of pink bloody fluid come out of the tumor. And I took that fluid and injected it into the tube with the concentrated T cells and incubated them together overnight. And what that does is cancer cells can't take heat. And so the heat kills the cancer cells, but what it does is the T cells are activated against these antigens on the cell membrane surface of the cancer cells. The next day, I took this solution and injected equal amounts into each quadrant around the four points around this neck mass, and 7 days later, the tumor was gone. And I've only done this twice, but both times I've had amazing results. Mm-hmm. But of course, many times I can't get the tumor. If it's a pancreatic tumor, ovarian or something, I don't do major surgery.
Right.
So I can't get access to the tumor. But I have had one hospital in, I think it's Kentucky, that my patient with an ovarian cancer had her tumor removed, and she requested that a piece of the tumor be sent to me out in Reno.
Mm-hmm.
And amazingly, this hospital cooperated and sent the piece of the tumor. And so what I'm able to do with her is I keep it in the freezer, and I take a little piece of the tumor, put it in a blender with some normal saline, and then I mix that liquid in with her T-cell concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
And incubate it overnight and give her a shot. She comes back about every 2 months now. She was through boot camp a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
But as you well know, ovarian cancer is very hard to treat.
Right, right.
And she is doing fantastic.
Good, good.
And then, of course, we still use Dr. Brody's immune-boosting IV formulas of different vitamins and minerals.
Mm-hmm.
If we're using the salicinium, we don't put the high-dose vitamin C in with it. But even without the vitamin C, there's a combination of different B vitamins and minerals that we give IV to boost the strength of the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And then we use different combinations of homeopathics to balance the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
I have a computer program system that was developed up in Salt Lake City called a Zyto. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
No.
Z-Y-T-O. But essentially what this does is the computer program communicates with the autonomic nervous system of the patient through changes in the electrical skin resistance in the palm of the hand. And so I can use this program to literally ask the body, what do you like, what don't you like?
Mm-hmm.
And have had some pretty amazing results with that.
Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite story to tell about the Zyto. I don't get all cancer patients. And I had this gal in her 50s from Oregon come in last fall. And she came in my office for her evaluation. She sat down and she said, I have to tell you, I'm here for migraine headaches. I've had them since I was 3 years old. I'm on 5 different medications, and it's not helping, and that the migraines feel as if I'm having a nail driven into the side of my head. And I said, okay. Well, then we went on with our whole evaluation, history and physical, and the different testing that I do. And then we got to this Zyto, and I ran a scan of which homeopathics.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is the digital signature is kept in this computer program.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has a digital signature. And I did a homeopathic scan on her, and this remedy came up that I had never heard of before. And so I clicked on it to see what it was for, and it says, comes out of the computer, says, this remedy is used to treat severe migraine headaches as if a nail is being driven into the side of the head. And we both almost fell on the floor. And I have gotten to the point where at first I was very skeptical about this thing, but I went up to Salt Lake, did a weekend seminar, and this thing told me things about me, or it said things about me that nobody else
mm-hmm.
knew. And I came back and talked to my office manager, and I said, we got to get this tool.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had more than one experience, like I just described to
mm-hmm.
you, with this computer program. So I do it on all my patients now.
Good. Yeah. When you were talking about the 17 mushrooms, I was thinking of host defense. Have you ever heard of that?
That's exactly the one we use.
Is
from
it?
Fungi Perfecta.
Right, because I
yes.
used to take that every winter so I wouldn't get pneumonia, because I had pneumonia, and I thought I don't ever want that again. So I started taking that. But then the naturopathic doctor mentioned to me taking colostrum for my prostate, because I have an enlarged prostate at 80. I think probably most everyone does. But I started taking the colostrum. Well, I had developed allergies after Hurricane Isabel, And that colostrum knocked out my allergies. I don't have allergies anymore. So I've stopped taking the host defense because the colostrum, for me, seems to work a little bit better. I don't know if you've ever considered colostrum or not.
I don't certainly know what colostrum is, but I have not incorporated it into my protocol.
Mm-hmm.
See, the problem I run into is there are a lot of good products out there,
mm-hmm.
but the biggest complaint I get from patients when they go home is I put them on what we call a home protocol, and they complain about too many pills.
Right.
And so every single one of the things on the protocol has a rationale behind it,
mm-hmm.
but I've had to trim it down to what I call the bare essentials just to get people to take them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think colostrum is a good product and really helps the immune system.
Well, it is a lot of pills because I take 3 in the morning and 3 at night. So
yes.
They would not like, I'm sure, taking that many extra things, but it does
exactly.
work well. Then you also work with the body-mind healing?
Yes. We have a number of tools to be able to help people use their subconscious mind as a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's interesting that I have used a tool called Psych-K. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No.
But basically, it uses muscle testing or biokinesiology
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to communicate with the subconscious mind. And the amazing thing, amazing to me when I started doing this, is that I'd say 40% of the patients that come to me, when I do muscle testing with them and ask them if they really and truly want to heal, their subconscious mind says no.
Oh.
And I tell them, unless we can turn this around, then nothing I do is going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because the subconscious mind runs the body.
Right.
And if you don't have it as an ally, then you're not going to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that there are some patients, I can't pick them out myself, but there are some patients that truly do not want to heal, and they want to use this disease as the way to leave,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
whether it's a bad relationship or a bad family or whatever. They have reasons why they want to get out, and that's why I always ask patients, what brings you here? Why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
And if I've had patients say, well, my wife dragged me here. And when they say that, I tell them, you know, it probably would be best for you to just go back home again, because I don't
right.
think what we're doing is going to help you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have to want this to work.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, we do get people that, most of the people that come here, it takes courage to face conventional medicine and say, no, this is not good enough for me. There's got to be a better way.
Right.
It's amazing to me to hear the stories of how not all, and I'm not saying oncologists are evil
mm-hmm.
people,
mm-hmm.
but they're doing what they were taught.
Right.
And they're
right.
basically brainwashed that there's nothing else out there that helps.
Right.
And I've seen many times where an oncologist will try and use fear to get a patient to do their therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell them, this is the worst thing in the world you can do. Because when you stimulate fear or the fight or flight reaction, the sympathetic nervous system, which is part of the autonomic nervous system, shuts down your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, that's a pretty important partner in getting rid of this any disease.
Right.
And so fear is the last thing you want to elicit in a patient. So that's why I tell them that the worst thing in the world you can do is declare war on your cancer.
Right,
because war, there is no more sympathetic dominant activity in the world, in human history, than war.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about survival, life and death survival. And when you are in a combat situation, that's by definition sympathetic overdrive, fight or flight.
Right.
And that shuts down the immune system. So I tell them, it's a good idea to use gentler metaphors for inviting your cancer to either relocate or they're going to find that it's going to be very hard to survive in your body.
Right, right. Well, I think you remember that I had lung cancer 38 years ago and was given 6 months to live. And again, you know, that's fear tactic. You got 6 months to live if you don't have chemo and surgery. Well, how many people are going to go alternative when they're told, if you don't have this, you're not going to live? I mean, I may be an exception, but it was not only the doctor, but my mother, because people were so oriented doing what the doctor says.
You know,
being a nurse, my colleagues, the same. They all said, well, do what the doctor wants you to do and then do these other things. So there is a lot of pressure on patients.
And what I tell people, too, is many times, of course, they come in here and they're petrified. And I say, so what are you afraid of? Well, I'm going to die. And I say, you know, none of us gets out of here alive. We're all going to die. It's got much more to do with the quality of the time that you have here than the actual number of days.
Right.
And so let's start focusing on the quality and extending the time of that quality. And let's see if that helps your body to eliminate the tumor. Because I tell them, in order to really heal, you have to be in parasympathetic dominance. And parasympathetic dominance is when you go, oh, honey, look at that beautiful sunset. Or smell those beautiful roses. That's when your body is relaxing and the immune system can maximize its effect.
Now, let me ask you some logistical questions. How long do patients usually stay when they come into the clinic?
Usually they stay for 3 weeks, 5 days a week for 3 weeks. And we don't like to start patients on that past a Wednesday. Ideally, they start on a Monday morning. And then we use standard blood tests, blood counts, and chemistry profiles. We do that once a week. And when they leave here after the 3 weeks, they go home on an oral protocol. I give them a written lab order for going to either a hospital lab or a LabCorp or Quest, which is nationwide, for these blood counts and chemistry profiles. And then the lab faxes us the lab results. And once a week, we have a prearranged time when I call the patient and we go over these lab results and any questions they might have, any concerns about the supplements or things like that.
Great. Good.
And that brings up, too, that the diet that I recommend is called a ketogenic diet. And that is a higher protein, lower carbohydrate diet. And the reason is that carbohydrates are all turned into sugar. And as we discussed earlier, sugar will feed the tumor. Now, you can't have no carbohydrates.
Right.
I mainly recommend using rice because of its what's called a low glycemic index. It doesn't cause such a spike or a jump in the blood sugar. But I do tell people that it would be good to stay away from the sweet desserts and treats, although, in general, I tell them my philosophy is moderation in all things, including moderation. And that means you're allowed to have a treat once in a while. Because I say people without treats die of boredom. But there's a huge difference between eating a big piece of chocolate cake every day and having a small piece of chocolate cake every 2 weeks. And if your brain is screaming out as you're walking past the bakery and you're screaming out for a piece of chocolate cake, and you go, oh, that's right, I can have a small piece of chocolate cake in 2 weeks, then the brain goes, okay, I can wait if I know it's coming. But if I say absolutely no chocolate cake ever again in your life, what's the brain going to scream for? It reminds me of the joke where the doctor says to the patient, no chocolate, no coffee, no alcohol, no tobacco. you won't live any longer, but it'll sure seem like it.
Right. Now, are you able to take health insurance or not?
No.
You can't.
We don't accept any insurance because, mm-hmm. and Dr. Brody is the one that taught me that, mm-hmm. because he spent years fighting with insurance companies trying to get them to pay for these mm-hmm. therapies. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it depends on the person's insurance. Some of them will pay for the cost of the chemo drugs,
right?
The 10% of the chemo drugs, if that's what we do. Mm-hmm. But we have not found an insurance plan yet that would pay for oxidative therapies and UBI mm-hmm. and IPT. Mm-hmm. And it's part of what I maintain is the insurance companies are who's running medicine these
right.
days.
Definitely.
And it has to do with reimbursement. It has nothing to do with health. It gags me to say health insurance because
right.
it has absolutely nothing to do with health.
Right. Well, I agree with you 100% because I changed doctors last year because I had a woman doctor who had never examined me in 4 years. So I decided, I need a physical. So I changed to the one that all the staff said was the best doctor in the area. This was after my own doctor retired. And so he examined me and he said, well, I'll see you in a year. I said, well, I'm used to coming every 4 months for lab work so that I can pick up things early. And he said, oh, well, that's not allowed anymore. He said, you can come once a year for preventive, and the only other time you can come is for sickness. I said, my previous doctor, she saw me because I'm borderline diabetic, and I have an enlarged prostate, and I have this and that. Well, he said, I can't do that. He said, insurance doesn't allow that anymore. And I said, in other words, it's sick care. It's not health care.
Right. Well, plus you're a cancer survivor, for God's sake.
Right. So I have a medical intuitive that I consult if I have problems. And I sometimes will consult a naturopathic doctor and other people, and I figure I'll just pay for it because my health is important. And so I go once a year to my primary doctor, and I pay out all this health insurance for a once-a-year physical.
Oh, God.
And that's life in the United States, right?
Yes, exactly.
Now, how do you measure success? Do you use the 5-year survival, or do you have other criteria that you use?
Well, we measure success by improving quality of life, improving length of life, mm-hmm. and then, of course, the longer the survival, the better.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, remission or regression of the tumor. And I explain to patients as well that the body has different ways of eliminating or getting rid of tumors.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that everybody wants, of course, is the tumor shrinks up and disappears and never comes back.
Right, right.
That, unfortunately, I have seen in a minority of cases, mm-hmm. unless they have surgical removal, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell them far more frequently the body will turn the tumor into scar tissue, and you won't have any cancer cells left in there, but you'll have a lump there for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that will reveal if there's cancer in there is that Nagelase test that I mentioned earlier,
right. mm-hmm.
or repeating a PET scan. Because normally what they do in the evaluation process is called a PET-CAT scan, which is a CAT scan and a PET scan together. And the reason is the CAT scan is really good at finding abnormal masses or lumps,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't tell you anything about the metabolic activity.
Mm-hmm.
And the PET scan is very poor at finding actual masses because it has fuzzy edges and there are changes in coloration or darkness mm-hmm. on the darkness or brightness on the PET scan.
Right.
But when they do a PET CAT scan, which now they can combine in a computer,
mm-hmm.
it used to be you had to have a PET scan in one room and a CAT scan in another room, and then the radiologist would have to look at both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But now they have ways for the computer to superimpose the images together so they can much more easily read where the abnormal masses are and whether or not there's abnormal metabolic activity, which is the key factor in diagnosing cancer. Because there's all kinds of lumps people get that aren't cancer.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So we measure success ideally by resolution or elimination of the tumor, lowering of the cancer markers. They do have some specific tests for some kinds of cancers. Not every cancer has a cancer marker. And these are blood tests that are specific proteins put out by the tumor. So things like ovarian cancer, colon cancer, breast cancer have specific markers. But kidney cancer, skin cancer, there's a whole bunch of cancers that don't have any specific markers. However, this new use of this enzyme test, the NAGLase, can be a very good indicator of success and progress in decreasing the tumor. And, of course, survival, but it's not just survival. It's the quality of that time, too. I tell people that it's important to pay attention to both the length and the quality, because if you ask anybody if they want to live a long life, the answer usually is yes. But then you say, well, do you want to live to be 120 and be drooling in your lap in a nursing home? And most of them say absolutely not. And so it's not just number of days or years, it's the quality of those days and years. Now, Dr. Brody, he lived to be 80 years old, and he died right here in the office, right in the next room. He was 80 years old, and he saw patients on the day he died. And he went in about 60 seconds. He had a heart attack and felt some chest pain. The nurse ran down the hall for some nitroglycerin, and by the time she was back in the room, he was dead. And everybody says, now, that's not a bad way to go.
No, it isn't.
And so those are the kinds of things we look at to measure success.
Now, Dr. Bob, would you tell us then about your overall services and if you have any products and books and how the listeners can reach you?
Our website is www.renointegrativemedicalcenter.com. And that website discusses many of the therapies we do, not all of them. Some of the newer ones are not on there, but people can email through the contact us, and the email will get to me, and then I usually respond to all the emails with questions about the therapies we do. And then it usually subsequently leads at least to a phone call or a medical records review or an appointment where they come in for an evaluation. And we get people actually from all over the world. I have a patient right now that just returned, well, a few months ago, returned to Australia with a bladder cancer, and he's doing very well. And I just talked to a woman on the phone from New Zealand. So many times we'll have people come from very far away, and they have their evaluation, and they are convinced they want to start boot camp that day. And so they come and they start right away. Then we have other patients that will come for an evaluation, tour the clinic, and take some time to decide whether they want to come back here for treatment. And the phone number here for our clinic is area code 775-829-1009. 775-829-1009. And people can call that number and set up a time, or possibly right then talk to one of my nurses about the therapies. My front office people are very well versed in the therapies we do, but if it gets into more technical questions, my nurses can answer, and or we can set up a time for me to have a conversation with somebody. If that's what they desire. We can go from there.
This has been fantastic and a very comprehensive overview of alternative cancer treatments, and I appreciate it so much because...
You are very welcome. I tell patients when we start our evaluation, I know this is an overwhelming amount of information, but this is everything we do.
Right.
And Dr. Brody taught me cancer is an aggressive disease, and in order to defeat it, you have to be as aggressive in return.
Right.
So that's
right.
why we have all these different things that we do. There's not any one single thing.
Mm-hmm.
If I found that, I'd throw everything else out the window.
Denise Marie, the publisher of A Distinctive Style magazine, has outdone herself in the winter issue, available at www.adistinctivestyle.com. For your pleasure, Denise Marie has brought together what reads like a who's who of Hollywood, Broadway, and Nashville stars, including Brad Pitt, Hugh Jackman, Anne Hathaway, Dolly Parton, Matt Dillon, Jeremy Irons, and others. Each talk about their career and lives by way of written and audiovisual media. Brad Pitt, the amiable Hollywood heartthrob, actor, and philanthropist, graces the cover and is featured in an exclusive interview in which he talks about balancing marriage, a large family, and a new film. Hugh Jackman, highly acclaimed for his recent role in Les Miserables, for which he won a Golden Globe Award and has been nominated for an Academy Award, talks about that role and his family. Denise Marie says Hugh Jackman is a sincere person that truly loves his family over anything else. Anne Hathaway, who also won a Golden Globe Award for her role in Les Miserables, talks about her recent marriage, motherhood, and career. Her singing of I Dreamed a Dream in Les Miserables was surprising to me and also memorable. Matt Dillon in Promised Land, where big business descends on an economically deprived community with devastating results, present a story that is often repeated in America and needs to be highlighted. And Dolly Parton, one of my favorite actresses, songwriters, singers, and philanthropists, talks about her personal philosophy that resulted in a fantastic career from her book, Dream More. Beyond these stories of famous people are stories of social issues, such as genetically modified foods, global warming of the polar ice caps, childhood cancer, chemicals in your body, the harmful effects of farm-grown salmon, and others. For example, do you know the top cereals likely to contain genetically modified organisms? Or do you know how rapidly the ice caps are melting? You won't want to miss this exciting winter issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.